3 years now, I have been involved in a group of women called the Patriarchy Study Group. The material in this article is based on discussions we've had in that group around male sexuality and the way men use it to control women. We decided to study anti-sexist men for a number of reasons. We suspected that misogyny and oppressive behaviour towards women is just less obvious in them than in most men. We were also interested in anti-sexist men because they're likely to be in relationships and friendships with feminists, and may therefore affect the fight against our oppression in that way. In this article, I want to look at the sexual behaviour of anti-sexist men and what this means for women. Anti-sexist men have written quite a lot about various topics, for example, masculinity, work and children. What is notably absent is description and discussion of their own sexuality, except to say that they are repressed or even oppressed, and not allowed to express their sexuality fully under patriarchy.
Let me begin with a story. I was raised in a Jewish home. So were all my closest friends. When Jewish boys are 13, they can be bar mitzvahed, which is a ritual ceremony introducing boys into manhood. When the boys in my crowd were bar mitzvahed, they were taken to a whorehouse. I was no exception. It was part of the initiation rite. An older woman came into the well-lit, sleazy hotel room. I immediately had an erection and immense anxiety. She inspected my penis, and then she took my money, opened the door, handed it to someone I could not see. She undressed. She slipped something into her vagina and told me to get into bed and climb on top of her. I did, and she put my penis inside her. After what seemed like 10 seconds, she asked me if I was finished. I said that I wasn't, but as soon as I finished saying that, I came. Then I felt terrible. She got up and left the room. That was it. The boys, waiting in the car, asked me how it was, and I said, great. If this is what making love is about, then I'll stick to masturbation. I didn't say that, but I thought it. I was sure the other fellows had had a very different experience, but I didn't dare ask, and they weren't talking. That was the beginning of what I assumed was a very conventional sex life. I slept with women regularly in college, and after I never thought much about what was happening in bed. I didn't think my sexuality was something to be explored, only experienced. Since nothing very strange or bad seemed to happen in bed, I wasn't troubled. When I was 27, I was living in New York. I turned on the radio one day and listened to a conversation two women and a man are having about the difference between clitoral and vaginal orgasms. I realized I didn't know what they were talking about. I didn't know what a clitoris was. I remember a woman with whom I had a long affair. She had never been able to have an orgasm when we made love. I had always just assumed she was uptight because no matter what I tried, nothing seemed to change. I didn't know she had a clitoris, and she didn't either, or she wasn't saying.
explain to me what Mike was saying about guilt?
It was news to me that when I'm making love that I might be trying to achieve some sort of goal or ideal which I'm not aware of. I certainly feel that a lot of my guilt comes from feeling like I'm a failure in some way. I can feel that I'm not liked and I don't like myself.
That's based on the expectation that you shouldn't be a failure.
That's right.
See, I have difficulty with what Mike was saying about guilt. I think of guilt as anger that I turn on myself instead of someone else. I look for somewhere to turn, to turn that anger. Mike seemed to say that there's nowhere to take the anger, that you're stuck with it.
I found the bit about the performing pig very interesting. Because you want the woman to get something out of it, right? But he's saying the only way that you'll do that is if you stop worrying about it. But on the other hand, if you're not worrying about it, then you might just come in 2 seconds. There's a big contradiction there.
Are you saying that if you don't worry about it, the natural thing is to come quickly?
No. Not necessarily. I can see if it's to bolster up the bloke's ego. But if you want better sex...
I think what he means by pig... Or what I should say anyway, is not sharing responsibility for everyone's orgasms equally with the woman or whoever is involved. I mean, both people are responsible for what happens, not only one of them.
Yeah. Yeah, it could be the woman's fault. But I wonder how many women would take responsibility. It's just the way the roles come out.
I have a whole load of oughts in my head all the time. It's not just that I didn't ought to be sexist. It's much more in terms of I ought to be enjoying this more. I ought to be letting myself go more. Mm-hmm. It's monitoring all the time. Mm-hmm.
Yes, like watching yourself go through something rather than experiencing it.
Yeah, I think there's a real tendency to do that if you're performing. I mean, it's very hard to keep track of your own orgasm if you're trying to perform. It seems to me to be easier to enjoy an orgasm if you're relatively passive. Well, that's my experience, isn't it?
I find it hard to enjoy anything if I'm trying to enjoy it.
The word orgasm is being bandied around as if we all know what an orgasm is. They're the same for everyone. I'm trying to think. No one has tried to describe the process. It's just summed up briefly as orgasm. I was thinking that it's difficult, and I can only see it in images. And the imagery I see is very interesting. Like, one image I always had was a rocket taking off. Or another one's a steam engine starting up. Another might be a waterfall. But I was just wondering, you know, if anyone was prepared to articulate their experience rather than just summing it up under one headline of orgasm?
I often find that I break into a fit of laughter or shakes or tension. Often it's painful laughter, sometimes it's good laughter. I never get this whoosh rocket thing.
I get a great sense of release, like taking a hot shower or something. It's just really relaxing. I don't necessarily laugh.
The waterfall is rather effective because it's downwards. It has fluidity about it rather than force.
Mm. Yeah.
This guy that's just written a book, Tao and Sex, now he says that coming for a man's not synonymous with having an orgasm, yeah? And that has been corroborated by sexologists in the States. Everybody thinks you have to come to have an orgasm, It's not like that.
And I think that's very important. You see, it comes up in the questions on the tape after Mike's talk. It's very much accepted at the meeting that there is a difference between ejaculation and orgasm. And it's not necessarily the case that men have to come to get an orgasm. And some of the blokes talk about... Well, one bloke gets what I think is very superior about how wonderful the orgasms he has without coming.
Yes, it's especially true if you've just had an orgasm. Or rather, with me, it's like to be half an hour ago. And you have another one. And when you come the second time and have an orgasm, it's much more stimulating.
Mm. Well, I feel quite competitive about that. I mean, I can count on the fingers of one hand the number of times it's happened to me.
What I find difficult here is the whole thing of dictating the conditions of your own pleasure. I think I've given women I've had contact with so little opportunity to know what I like, because I've given myself so little opportunity to know what I like. The women I know don't actually know how to turn me on. So I end up sort of dictating my own terms of how. So I'm permanently in control, and I don't think I've ever had the experience of really letting a woman turn me on. And allowing her to be creative in the relationship. To let loose in the way that you described, I just find hard to do. To not be on top of the situation all the time.
See, I'm conscious that when someone is trying to give me pleasure, I can lose all contact with it. And I'm desperately hoping that some nerve in my body is going to feel pleasure.
When I was listening to the tape about the performance peak thing again, there was one thing that hit me forcefully around about Christmas time, I think, about how we approach fucking with another person. Because what happened to me, like most men in the room, I suppose, the women that I fuck are mostly feminists, and so my approach is always to try and not be your typical man, not take the initiative, not go for the good hard bang, try to be caring, gentle, because that's what I thought would be acceptable to a feminist. But then I met a woman who that approach was a fuck-up. It wasn't what she wanted at all. It turned her off me. We talked about it, and it was a really big down for me. She compared me to this other bloke, badly to this other bloke that she was going with. And he was a bit of a male chauvinist. But when it comes to fucking, that's what she wants.
But, well, how about you? What did you want? You described both things in terms of the expectations of the other person.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Well, I feel that what I was doing was more in tune with my approach to fucking. And that is tied up with the question of performance. Not only performance in how good you are, but also the manner in which you do it.
I can't see the point of imposing any sex morality on anyone. If a woman wants to be screwed by a male chauvinist, that's what she wants. There's no point trying to change that until she wants to change it.
Yes, except if he is being oppressed by her saying he's no good.
Oh yes, but in that case, I wouldn't go with her. I wouldn't try and change her.
Mm. That seems a bit harsh to me. In the sense that if you have an experience like that, with somebody and you think it's not quite right to say that's it, I won't bother anymore. I mean, rather than saying, right, you're doing it wrong, you could say, well, I like it different, and then see if they do change. Yeah. Instead of the moralistic, well, you haven't got it right.
Well, by a chauvinist screw, I mean you don't care about the woman. It's just I want, and that's it.
Yeah.
But in the end, that's not very satisfying.
It's just a question of desire, that's all.
How is it different from masturbation?
It's not really.
One thing he doesn't go into on the tape. There's the one argument as to whether you're chauvinist or not. There's also the argument of fucking being an essential thing, like a cure-all. And you might be very sensitive, and a woman might be very sensitive, but you still see fucking as something that can substitute for everything else. So that when you feel you want to fuck, it could be that you want to fight, or maybe sing, or eat, or change your job, or sleep. I mean, it's good that he stresses how we are fucked up about it, but still, he doesn't say how that central role can be dispersed. So there is less pressure on fucking as a way of working yourself out. Mm. I mean, it's like, if you can sort out your sexuality with somebody else, then the rest of your life will just fit into place. Well, it just seems a bit...
He does talk about strokes, that there are a lot of other strokes. When he talks about men's groups, he's saying you can get a lot of other things from men.
Mm. Yes, but it's still in a very physical slash sexual sort of vein, though. I mean, he doesn't talk about getting satisfaction from walking, talking, reading or writing or doing practical things. It's still very much sensuality.
I think it's warmth and understanding too when you're talking about men's groups. The fact that men usually only have that warmth from women.
Oh yes, in my experience what he says is true. I feel I've got a great deal from men's groups.
What I feel is that fucking. Let's go back into my history just a little bit. If I were able, years ago, to live out my sexual fantasies, what I would have been would be one of those compulsive, neurotic, promiscuous people who went around fucking as many and as often as I could. But after a while, I had the realisation that because of the way we are conditioned to see what sex is held out to be, the fantasy was a search for a deep acceptance by another person that I had been denied. And that I couldn't find that deep acceptance through sex. And I think for me, that's what these strokes are about. Feeling this kind of acceptance from another human being at this very deep level. And that you can fill these in other ways than fucking. Fucking is a physical and emotional acceptance of one person by another. But I don't think necessarily it's the ultimate...
Because this article is short, I'm having to make a number of assumptions. I'm assuming that the oppressive sexual behaviour men use to control us has been constructed to do so and is not an inherent trait. For example, men are not born rapists because it is advantageous. It makes them more powerful. While an anti-sexist man would be reluctant to use rape, he might have other less obvious ways of retaining power in a sexual relationship with a woman. I'm also assuming some knowledge of anti-sexist men and the men's movement. I'll give a brief outline. Anti-sexist men are not a homogenous bunch. Some men are in relatively permanent groups where they do consciousness raising or therapy or decide on activities to do, such as running creches at women's events. Some meet to organise one-off actions. Some to liberate themselves from the oppression they experience through the definition of masculinity, rather than to challenge their own oppression of women. Some men are concerned to expose their oppressive behaviour towards women and to get rid of it. A few even say that they themselves are the enemy that women have to fight. Whatever activities an anti-sexist man becomes involved in, and whatever opinions he chooses to hold as an anti-sexist man, it appears that the motivation is egotistical and for his own enhancement. It is not primarily to destroy the power men have over women. So I want to try and show the dynamic that I've just outlined in more detail using an article from Achilles' Heel. So one of the men, B, describes what happened to him. Like most men in the room, I suppose, the women that I fuck with are mainly feminists, and so my approach is always to try and not
be your typical male, always taking the initiative, going for a good hard bang, but being gentle, caring. Because that's what I always thought a feminist woman would want. But then I met a woman who, that approach was a fuck up. It wasn't what she wanted at all. It didn't turn her on, it turned her off me, and we talked about it. And it was a really big down for me. I was compared badly with this other guy she was going with, and he was a bit of a male chauvinist. But when it comes to fucking, that's what she wants.
So B changed his sexual behaviour so that he would stay in favour with feminists. He then decided that being gentle
and caring
was his newfound sexuality. It was
more in tune with my approach to fucking.
He then tried to impose his new sexuality on another woman and felt a really
big down
when he could not. His anger at this woman comes out when he talks about the other relationship which she is involved in, putting her down for having a relationship with a bit of
a male chauvinist,
rather than with him. The guy who usurped B may well be a bit of a male chauvinist, but that is not the point. The fact is that B will only allow women to act sexually in the way he decides is all right or right on. He is motivated to change by self-interest. For instance, wanting to fuck
with feminists,
rather than concern for women's oppression. The discussion at the men's centre continues around what B has said and about whether he should have told the woman to change her sexual behaviour. Another guy points out that it is probably too
domineering
to tell women what to do. He then comes up with a very neat suggestion of how to get round the problem of being obviously dominating and still being able to manipulate women the way they want. He explains how, rather than saying,
right, you're doing it wrong, you could say, well, I like it different, and see if they do change.
Thus, the new generation of anti-sexist men can impose their sexuality on women as their sexist predecessors could. Anti-sexist men just use more insidious means. And to cap it all, the men's group helps to create and support this type of oppressive behaviour towards women.
We have a liftoff.